Why don't we take a minute, and we're just going to pray for the SDM team and just pray for the preparations that are involved with getting the team ready for the missions committee, and then we will begin our sermon for today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are good and gracious God. We thank you that you are God who is so merciful. We thank you that you are God who provides for all our needs. And Lord, we just want to pray now for the STM. We want to pray, Lord, for the preparation. I pray for the missions committee. I pray that you, God, would really work in them, Lord. Help them to get the team ready. Help them to have wisdom to choose the right people to be part of this team. I pray, Father, that you would bless this whole process, God, and prepare our hearts, Lord, to prepare the hearts of those that will be going to get ready to minister to these children who desperately need your love, desperately need to know about God's love for them. And so I just pray, Father, for you to be with us every step of the way, Lord, and provide for our needs, God. Provide for our needs financially. Provide for everything that we might need to ask you for. So thank you, God, that you've been so faithful to us already. I pray that you would be with me, Lord, as I preach. I pray that you would speak through me. I pray that you prepare our hearts, Lord, to hear your word and to receive them. And not only that, but to apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Why don't we begin by talking about camping. How many of you love to camp? Anybody? Okay, so we have some people who love to camp. How many of you detest camping? Put your hands up. Okay, so we also have people who hate camping. And let me tell you, what is so special about camping? First of all, camping requires a lot of preparation. Not only is it about going out into the outdoors, but you actually need to do a lot of planning before you can even go. You have to decide on your location. You need to decide on your date. You need to decide what kind of equipment do you need in order to make it through the weekend. You have to check the weather to make sure that you are planning and packing accordingly. If you're planning for a scouts group, it requires even more planning because you have to plan for a whole entire group. In our group, we also have to plan for our parents. So in going through that process of planning, we need to communicate to the parents. We need to accept and receive the registration forms. We need to print out the maps. We need to communicate to them where we're going to meet and what we're going to do. We also need to plan the activities of what we're going to do for that weekend. Without careful planning, a camping experience can be a disaster. But if we plan well, we know that camping can be a lot of fun. Lord Baden-Powell is the founder of the Scouts movement, and he came up with this model, which is be prepared. He came up with this model over 100 years ago because he wanted to prepare his youth to be prepared in mind and body for any situation that they may face. Take a look at Baden-Powell's words right now. He asked them, first of all, to be prepared in their minds. Be prepared in mind by being disciplined, disciplining yourself to be obedient to every order, and also having thought out beforehand any incident or situation that might occur, so that you know the right thing to do at the right moment and you are willing to do it. Also, he asked them to be prepared in body. In order to be prepared for the body, he asked them to make themselves strong and active, able to do the right thing at the right moment and to do it. Preparation is the key to success. Even if you don't like camping, there are many things that you need to prepare for in life. You need to prepare to go to school or come to church by brushing your teeth, taking a shower, changing your clothes in the morning. You need to prepare to study for a test by using all your brain power and trying to study and remember the information. You need to prepare yourself to get married if you are getting married by taking a marriage preparation course. You need to prepare yourself perhaps for any kind of emergency that might happen if you have a car. So you might want to have a car kit in your car just in case your car stalls or you end up running out of gas. So these are all ways that we prepare ourselves for life and is something that we cannot avoid. Well, God had a master plan. His plan was to bring his people into the land of Canaan. This was going to be a land full of milk and honey. He promised to give it to them a long time ago, but it was just now that they were at the brink of entering into the promised land. But even before they would step foot into this promised land, he had to warn them of a few things. Let's take a look at our passage today. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, God is warning them of a few things that he wants to remind them. He wants to remind them of these things because it will help them to live and increase and enter and possess the land that the Lord has in store for them. This land, first of all, he had to remind them of where he had taken them from. He had to remind them of the lessons that he had taught them in the wilderness. This wilderness that they had been wandering in for 40 years was like a desert. It was a time of testing and disciplining for his people. He wanted to find out a few things about the Israelites through this testing period. First of all, he wanted to know what was really in their heart. Second of all, he wanted to know, would they obey his commands or not? And the third thing he wanted to know was, would they depend on him and depend on him alone once they entered into the promised land? Being in the wilderness, it stripped them of all their basic necessities that they might have been accustomed to. Because this land was not rich, they had to depend on God for their food and all of their living. When they were thirsty, they had to ask God for water. When they were hungry, they had to ask God for food. In the desert, they had to learn that God was their provider of all their needs. Their strength came from him to survive in the wilderness for 40 years. They had to learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes by the mouth of God. They had to depend on God not only for their physical needs, but also their spiritual needs. Jesus also faced this temptation too when he was in the desert before he started this ministry. And this is where the quote comes from Deuteronomy 8. That Jesus said back to Satan when he was facing his own temptation. The Israelites knew that this wandering in the desert was going to take a long time. And God was using this as a way to teach them certain things that he wanted them to learn. But it wasn't going to be easy. It was a time of discipline. It was a time to mature their faith, to prepare them for what was in store for them in the promised land. He knew them. He knew that they would forget. He knew that it would be hard for them to endure. And he knew that they had a tendency to worship other idols. So he had to warn them ahead of time of what was coming. So why were they in the desert in the first place? We know they were in the desert because they were being punished for their disobedience. We know that when God gave them the food, this is what God gave them. He gave them the manna, or the bread of heaven. It looked something like this. It was coriander seed, and it looked like resin. And what the people would do is they would collect it from the ground and put it in the handmill and crush it into the mortar. They would cook it in a pot and make cakes out of it, and that would be their food that they would eat every day. They were only allowed to collect manna for each day, and then that was it. They would have to ask God for more. And it was only on the Sabbath that they would receive two times as much, because Sabbath was the day of rest. God was the one who was going to supply the manna for them if they depended on him to provide. But as you know, the Israelites were not satisfied. They wanted more. So they started grumbling and complaining to God, saying, "Give me meat, give me meat." And so God listened to their request, but he was not happy with what they were requesting. So he decides to give them quail. But he doesn't just give them quail for 1 week or 2 weeks. He says, "I'm going to give you quail for 1 month until you're so sick of it, it's going to come out of your nostrils." It's actually in the Bible, okay? Numbers 11:20, if you ever want to look it up, okay? So the reason for this disobedience was because they did not believe that God was going to help them to enter into the promised land. Do you remember the incident in Kadesh Barnea when they sent the 12 spies to survey the land? Okay, 10 of them came back and gave a very devastating report of what the land was like. They said that the people were like giants and that they were like grasshoppers in their presence, and they were afraid to go in. Even though God had promised them a long time ago that he would give them this land. There was only two that were faithful, Joshua and Caleb. They said, "We can go in because God is going to be with us. And if God is with us, he will drive out the nations from that land and he will give that land to us." They were the only two who had faith in God to believe that he was going to do what he promised. So this desert experience, or this wilderness experience, was to test them and to know what was truly in their heart, to see if they would truly obey God and his commands. But in the desert, God did not desert them completely. Anytime they cried out to them, God would provide for them. Look at verse 3 and 4. What did God provide for them? He provided for them clothes, verse 4, that clothes that would not wear out and the feet that would not swell during the 40 years. If you think about it, look at the clothes that you're wearing right now. Can you imagine wearing those clothes for 40 years? Most of us wouldn't do that. Either we'd grow out of it or perhaps they would wear out. It's not possible that our clothes would last that long, right? So we know that that was a miracle that God had provided, that their clothes did not fade. It did not wear out, even in the blazing desert sun. Another miracle that God performed for them was that their feet did not swell. Any of you ever walk for a long period of time and have your feet swell up? Anyone? No? Some? Okay, so if you go hiking, you would know that sometimes your feet do swell, okay, because of the walking on the uneven ground. And if you're walking for a long time, your feet would naturally have the tendency to swell. I don't know if you guys remember, when I went to Aruba a few years ago, one of my ankles swelled up, okay, because of the heat, but I wasn't even walking that much. But somehow, because my body wasn't used to the heat, my left ankle was swelled up like a balloon. So the heat would naturally cause their feet to swell. But in this case, for 40 years, God provided for them. God provided for them so that their feet did not swell. So what can we learn from their time in the wilderness? Sometimes God puts us through tests and trials to humble us and to prepare us for the future. Sometimes it's to strengthen our faith. Sometimes it's to reveal something about ourselves or about God. Or perhaps it is to refine our character. And during that time, we are like the Israelites. We don't want to be there. We want to get out as soon as possible. But what is important is that we remain there and we don't rush the process, because God's timing is always best. In James 1:2, it says this: "Consider it pure joy, brothers, that whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you can become mature and complete, not lacking anything." James 1:12. "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Eventually, God was going to lead them out of the wilderness, but they needed to learn their lessons first. And that's the same thing with us. Perhaps God is putting you through a trial or a testing time. But rather than trying to run away, allow God to teach you what he needs you to learn. Okay, I don't know if you know, but the Girl Guides motto is also to be prepared. And what is the reason why they have this motto? It's because Girl Guides need to be prepared for any moment to face difficulties and even dangers by knowing what to do and how to do it. Now, before God would allow them to go into the promised land, he had to warn them of the dangers that lay ahead of them. Although they were going to enter into a land of abundance, there would be some great temptations that they would face. In verse 7, God describes for them and paints for them a picture of what this new land is going to look like. It's going to be a land with brooks and streams and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and the hills. It is going to be a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. It is a land where they would not lack anything. This land would provide for all their needs. Even if they wanted to mine, they could mine because there would be iron and copper that would be there for them to do that. So this land was in great contrast to what they had experienced for the past 40 years. The past 40 years, they had been in this dry, desert kind of climate. And now they were in this land of abundance. But there would be some dangers that they would face because now they had everything. But before, they had nothing. So now God had to remind them of what he wanted them to do. Sometimes when we think about our lives and we think about our jobs, we think, oh, you know, when we get our paycheck, it's because we earned it. And so we should get the credit for working hard to get that paycheck. But sometimes we forget that it is God who gave us that job. It is God who gave us the brain to be able to work hard. It is God who is the one who has provided us that job. David Jeremiah, a famous preacher in the States, says that our jobs and our school is a gift that God has given to us. What we do with that gift is our gift back to God. Developing this thankful heart is so important because when we develop a thankful heart, then we remember what God has done. And we remember that we need to give thanks. In not thanking God, then it is easy for us to forget. Oprah once said these words, "Be thankful for what you have. You'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you will never, ever have enough." Having a thankful heart is something we cultivate over time. It takes time and effort to develop that habit of being a thankful person. So the first thing that he wanted to remind them of in verses 11 to 16 is, do not forget the Lord. Why is he warning them about this? He's warning them about this because he knows that once they enter into a land of prosperity, they might forget God. He also warns them to beware of forgetting what God has done for them in the wilderness. Forgetfulness is a state of mind, not just a state of mind or absent-mindedness. It is forgetting the reality of who God is and what he has done in our lives. Sometimes we forget what God has done because we're only living in the present. When is the last time that we remembered how much God loves us and how God saved us? In remembering those things, it helps us to remember how faithful God has been since that time that he saved us. But sometimes our present reality causes us to cloud out the past memories and also to forget what he's going to do in moving us forward. So this is one of the dangers God had to warn his people of. Don't forget the Lord. The second thing that he had to remind them of is that be careful of prosperity. Prosperity can lead to pride. Pride is taking credit for all the blessings that God has given to us rather than remembering where it came from. Forgetting the Lord and where it came from is like forgetting all the lessons that he had taught them in the wilderness. In Proverbs 16:18, it says, "Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall." Pride and self-sufficiency is something that we all struggle with. Benjamin Franklin once said this, "In reality, there is perhaps no one in our natural passions so hard to subdue as pride. Disguise it, struggle with it, beat it down, stifle it, mortify it as much as one pleases. It is still alive, and in every now and then, peep out and show itself. You will see it perhaps often in this history. For even if I could conceive that I had fully overcome it, I should probably be proud of my humility. It's something that we constantly struggle with, being proud and being self-sufficient, because it is easy for us to forget the Lord when things are going well. It is easy for us to forget the Lord and to depend on ourselves rather than depending on God. So this land that God was going to give them was their source of strength and hope, would now become their greatest temptation. What would they do? Trusting in God is hard because it's so much easier for us to trust in ourselves. Trusting in God requires us to yield the control to God rather than hold the control for ourselves. And we know that prosperity has its hindrances, even for us today. Take a look at the rich young ruler in the Bible. When Jesus asked him, have you been obeying all my commands? And what did he say? Yes, I've done it. I've done everything that you've asked me to do. But then when Jesus asked him, sell all your possessions, give it to the poor, and then you can come follow me. He was unwilling to do so. And Jesus goes on further to say in Matthew 19:24, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone that is rich to enter into the kingdom of God. We need to be aware and beware of prosperity, that we do not forget the Lord. In verse 17, it says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is you who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms the covenant which he swore to his ancestors as today. We always need to remember that our power and strength doesn't come from our own hands. It is God who gives us the ability to produce our wealth. In the contemporary version, it says, it is God who gives us strength to make a living. You know the doxology that we sing every Sunday? What is the first phrase of the doxology? Praise God for whom all blessings go, flow, right? So even though we sing this every single Sunday, have we thought about what that means? Praising God for whom all blessings flow. All the blessings come from God. The earth is the Lord and everything in it. Everything belongs to God. We are the steward of God's blessings. But we did not do anything to earn them, but is given to us graciously by God. And the third thing that God needed to warn them about was about idolatry. In verse 19 to 20, he reminds them again, do not forget the Lord or worship other gods or bow down to them, or you will be destroyed. This was a very serious consequence. In Deuteronomy 7, he outlines why is it that so important that they got rid of these idols. First of all, if they did not destroy the people or they did not destroy the idols that were in the land, they would easily be prone to worship those idols. He told them very clearly, don't make any treaties with these people. Don't intermarry with them. Why? Because he knew that their hearts would be prone to worship their gods instead of Yahweh, who was supposed to be their God. So ultimately, this came down to obedience. Were they willing to obey God and the covenant that God had set with them through Moses? Their obedience in the land would ensure how long they would stay there and the success in the new land. If they obeyed, they would live long and prosper. But if they disobeyed, then God would bring curses and destruction upon them. If they obeyed, God would defeat the enemy for them. But if they disobeyed, the enemies would defeat them. This was a choice between life and death. The heart attitude for obeying God can be summarized in two things. Do we walk in God's ways, and do we fear God? If we fear God, we want to obey him, not out of duty, but because we love God and out of a sincere desire to please him. Fearing God does not mean we're afraid of God. It means that we give him the honor that he deserves. In Proverbs 2, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. If we truly fear and love God, we will worship him and we will obey his commands. Obedience to God is something that we need to do every day in a personal relationship with him. Obedience is not about the right behavior, but it's about the right attitude towards God. God is not so impressed by the offerings that you give or how much you serve in church. He is more concerned that you have an obedient and broken and contrite heart towards him. Disobedience can cause us to forget about God. People who do not obey God would have a tendency to forget him. So this was a choice that God was laying out for his people. Are you going to obey me or not? In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, he leaves them with this last thought. He says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." And so this is the choice that we also have to make. If we love God, will we be willing to obey him? If we love God, will we be willing to obey his commands? So there are three things, basically, that this passage teaches us. One, remember what God has done for you, how he's been faithful to you in the past. Number two, don't forget God when you are living a prosperous and successful life. And the third thing that he wants us to remind us of is that we should obey God no matter what. Why? Because we love him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would help us to do what this scripture says. Teach us how to obey even when it's hard. Teach us to remember you and how faithful you've been to us in the past. And remind us, God, that we need to remember you and not forget the Lord, even when things are going well in our life and when we are prospering. You are the God who has provided everything for us, and you want us to be good stewards of the gifts that you've given to us. Help us to be thankful for the blessings that you've given to us, God, and help us never to forget your great love for us. Prepare us, Lord, as we get ready to celebrate Easter this coming weekend. I pray, Father, that you help us to remember what Christ has done on the cross for us and the victory we have in him. And help us to remember also how you have saved us and rescued us from our sinful ways, and help us to give thanks to you. In Jesus' name, amen.